Hello everyone and welcome back, Dace here. Today we're going to be taking an in-depth look at Vesara and why it's suddenly become one of my all-time favorite shmups, so let's get right into this. When I initially checked out Vesara as part of the Vesara collection for Switch, I thought it was a fascinating shmup but ultimately didn't play it much after the first session or two. I likely had other games on the go at the time, but also felt like the character movement was a little too slippery. I suspected input lag as well, but didn't play enough to confirm this one way or another. Fast forward a year and a half, and Vesara has become one of the best and most engaging STGs I've ever played. But how did Vesara manage to take such a strong hold over me? What was so good about this shmup that had me swear off all other games and immerse myself completely night after night? We'll get into that shortly, but for now, let's take a look at what Vesara is and how it plays. Please note that I'm reviewing the original Vesara and not the Vesara Collection version for Switch, PlayStation Vita, PS4, PC, and Xbox One. Originally a Japanese exclusive, Vesara is a top-down, vertical-scrolling arcade shoot-em-up developed and published by Visco in 2000. Visco wasn't exactly known for producing out-of-this-world games, yet they somehow managed to create Vesara 1 and 2, which are easily masterpieces in my opinion, and undoubtedly their most incredible creations by far. The story takes place in feudal Japan. The year is 1600, and Japan's ruler Hideyoshi Hashiba is dead, leaving Ieyasu Tokugawa an opportunity to force his way into a position of power. But three hoverbike-riding warriors rise to fight against Tokugawa and his army of medieval tanks, robots, and flying machines. From the main menu, you may choose one of three playable characters to use for the duration of the run. Each character has a speed and power stat, which sets them apart from the others. All of the protagonists have a main gun that fires from their hoverbike. A secondary weapon unique to each character fires simultaneously with the main gun. They all have a melee weapon, strictly for charged shots, that can swipe away enemy fire or slash enemies to deal considerable damage, a supply of bombs, and the ability to unleash a big special attack known as the Vesara. I'll cover all of these things more in depth shortly, but first, let's get to know the characters. First up is the young man and trickster Yukimura Sanada, who sports long, pink hair and a ponytail. According to the official Visco website, Yukimura Sanada belonged to the now-destroyed Toyotomi House. The person who crushed his family was none other than, you guessed it, Ieyasu Tokugawa. So to be fair, he has a pretty solid reason for fighting against the Tokugawa forces. It's interesting to note that many of the characters in Vesara are real people from Japan's recorded history, and Yukimura Sanada is no exception to this. His actual name, however, was Sanada Nobushige. During the Sengoku period, he served as a samurai warrior and was most well known for his position as leading general during the Siege of Osaka on the defending side. What would Sanada Nobushige have thought if he knew that he would be the star of a video game riding into battle on a hoverbike against an army of robots 4 centuries later? As for his in-game involvement, Yukimura Sanada is the most balanced of the three characters, with his speed and power stats both sitting at 2. His gun fires straight ahead with a stream of green-colored shots and light blue kunai knives that spread out from either side of the hoverbike and have slight homing capabilities. His charged melee weapon is a sword that slashes in front of him and to the sides a short distance. Players can use this slash for pushing forward into oncoming attacks or slightly off to either side to deflect additional enemy fire, damage larger enemies, or destroy popcorn enemies who are getting too close for comfort. Next up is Saiga Magoichi at age 15. She is the fastest but weakest of the characters, with her speed sitting at 3 and her power at 1. Her gun fires a pink-colored spread shot with homing fans. These paper fans do slightly more damage than Yukimura Sanada's kunai knives for those who like the technical details. Her charged melee weapon is a frantic flaming fan frenzy that circles the entirety of her hoverbike. This attack is useful if you want to clear up enemies or enemy fire that has gotten behind you and poses a risk. Unlike most others, Saiga Magoichi's character was created specifically for the game and is not based on a real person. That being said, she is supposed to be the daughter of Saika Magoichi, who was in fact a real historical figure. Last but not least, we have Keiji Maeda at age 55. He is the slowest but most powerful of the characters, with a speed of 1 and a power level of 3. I've read that he has the smallest hitbox, but judging by the flashing square indicating each hitbox on the character's select screen, I don't see much difference. To be fair though, I also haven't used him enough to confirm this myself. He fires a straight stream of light blue projectiles with large, slow-moving javelins that dig deep into the enemies, dealing considerable damage in the process. Furthermore, the javelins never vanish upon impact, but instead they continue traveling and can be used to deal with multiple enemies effectively. His melee weapon is a large spear that, when charged and released, repeatedly stabs in front of him in a thrusting blur of blue and white. With a power stat of 3, it goes without saying that his charge shot is the most powerful in the entire game. Keiji Maeda belonged to the House Sagaki, and once his family had all been killed off, he swore an oath to bring justice to Ieyasu Tokugawa. His character is based on a real samurai named Maeda Toshimasu, also known as Keijiro. Maeda Toshimasu lived during the Sengoku and early Edo periods and was well known for his immense height and raw strength. Now that we have the lengthy introductions out of the way, let's look at how the game plays out. The game's controls are relatively simple. You have a button you can repeatedly tap for firing your gun, and holding down the same button will charge your melee attack. You control the character's movement with the left stick, and there is a designated button for using bombs when you're in a pinch. Vassara offers 6 unique and challenging stages to work through before encountering the final boss of the game. If certain conditions are met, a true last boss will appear and push your skills to the absolute limit, and I can honestly say that these final battles are not for the faint of heart. To reach the TLB, there are 3 main options. The first is to 1cc your way to him. The second is to make it to stage 6 before using a continue. And the third is to use a total of 10 continues before you start the final stage. I haven't sampled the third option, as my primary method has always been to 1cc things, but I experimented with the second option and can confirm that one. Stages 1 through 4 have 2 bosses each, one general and the stage end boss. Depending on the level, you'll start with fighting the general soon after the stage begins or sometimes halfway through, and then have the full-fledged boss to deal with at the end. Assuming you can survive long enough to reach them, that is. The starting stage of your run will depend on the character you choose, and this will, of course, affect the order of the following stages, but only up to a certain point. If you get a game over, additional credits may be used to continue the run, but once you reach stage 6, you'll always start at the beginning of the level if you lose all of your lives. So if nowhere else, you've got to play well during the last stage. Despite the slow scrolling speed of the levels, the action is relentless as enemies filter onto the screen and fire upon your character. Vassara has everything from four-legged, water-based robotic tanks, to large flying machines, giant missiles, ground-based tanks, gun turrets, enemy riders on hoverbikes, the list goes on and on, and that doesn't even cover the bosses. In that department, you're up against giant mechs with drones, floating cannon structures, rampaging tanks firing huge sheets of energy, the variety is top-notch. As you begin destroying enemies or slashing away at larger enemy craft, you'll notice red gems start to drop. These can be collected and will help fill the Vassara gauge at the top left of the screen. Once the Vassara gauge is full, your next melee attack will automatically unleash a large and devastating Vassara attack, which can be used to essentially clear the screen or inflict multiple melee attacks on bosses. It can be a double-edged sword, because if you are over-collecting gems, you can sometimes have a full meter before you want it. In situations like that, you're dealing with the added pressure of releasing the attack during an underwhelming section, or holding onto it for later, limiting you to just your movement and gunfire before finally using it. You may also notice a brief clearing of enemy fire when your gauge becomes full. This is a nice added touch that can come in handy, but ultimately not something you would work into your game plan. The melee attack can also be used to break open destructible objects hidden throughout each stage. Doing this will reveal a burst of red gems to help you accelerate the gauge filling process. If you know where to strike and become efficient at grabbing gems before they fall away, you can easily fill 2 gauges in each stage. If unleashing the Vassara attack upon a general or boss, you will be able to fill your gauge about 1/5 or 1/4 of the way to maximum before the attack even finishes. That is, if you grab the gems quickly enough. Lamp posts and rock faces are just 2 examples of the objects you can smash apart. Also worth noting, some red gems are much larger than normal gems. They drop less often, but fill more of the Vassara gauge. Larger gems will typically be hidden, but you can still see them drop when killing certain enemies. The only other items in the game are power-ups, bombs, golden treasures, and a single 1-up that you can only come across partway through the Stage 5 boss fight. The power-ups drop often enough when enemies are killed. They are light blue-colored ovals with the letter P in yellow. Collecting these will increase the number of projectiles fired from your main gun and the number and frequency at which your character's secondary projectiles are sent out. The maximum power level permitted in the game is 5, and your power-ups will drop and begin to scatter if you take a hit, so be sure to collect them as quickly as you can if you want to recover. You start each run with 2 bombs, and each stage start or mid-stage boss will drop a bomb for you to grab, so claim these without fail if you know you're going to need them. However, keep in mind that the maximum number of bombs that can be held is 5, so if you're at the maximum and know you'll be getting another soon, don't be afraid to use one if it's going to help you progress. Exercise extreme caution with bombs though, because you lose all but 2 when taking a hit. It's okay to use one when you're sitting at 5 instead of losing a life and being down 3 bombs. An interesting feature of Vesara is that you don't take damage when touching enemies, but you do bounce off of them. This feature can be hazardous if enemies come up from behind and bump you into oncoming projectiles, or if you're even just navigating a tight area with floating mines and enemies flying past you on hoverbikes. The bosses in Vesara will deliver significant challenges if going in unprepared. These fights always consist of multiple phases and tricky attack patterns that will keep you moving. There are destructible parts, and shooting or slashing sections away will often transition the boss into its next phase and set of attacks. Some bosses unfold to unleash new weapons, others split in half to reveal they were more than just a single boss, while others gain additional armor once you have destroyed them. Not only are the bosses all unique in appearance and function, but all of them have vastly different attack styles from one another. These differences keep the pressure high and the action intense, which is always a plus. The creativity they packed into this STG has Vesara feeling super awesome in my books, with no part of me feeling tired of the game after countless runs. As you can imagine, the primary way to score is to bomb, shoot down, or slash an enemy to pieces. You get a score bonus when simultaneously killing multiple enemies with your melee attack. The more the merrier, in fact. The Vesara attack nets a fairly high amount since you can essentially clear the screen. In addition to combat-related scoring, gold ingots are scattered throughout the game, and you'll find these most often when slashing open or shooting rooftops to expose the treasures within. You will see some enemies carrying white banners, and if bringing them down, you get a prestige kill. A blood-stained version of the banner will briefly appear on the screen, letting you know that someone of importance was slain. You get a stage-end bonus for each banner claimed in this way. The red gems you collect for the Vesara gauge also add to your score total. Small gems add 10 points, and the large gems add 100. Lastly, and probably the most unknown of the scoring methods, is grazing or scraping. If an enemy projectile gets dangerously close to your hitbox without you taking the hit, you'll see a little burst of sparks. Grazing doesn't count for much in the long run, but you do receive points each time this happens. There are sections in the game where you could theoretically capitalize on this scoring method, but it's still too little to risk unless you're intentionally playing for the highest possible score you can achieve. If you appreciate varied backgrounds and high levels of detail, you'll love what you see in Vesara. When playing as Yukimura Sanada, the first stage alone spans a village area, lush green fields bordered by a small river, even a fortress with a bridge behind it crossing a deep shadowy crevice. You'll also see cliff huts where enemy hoverbikes depart from, a pool and waterfall by cliffs that have decorative carvings, and lastly, a beautiful green forest where the stage end boss is encountered. Tiny details are sprinkled here and there, which could have easily been left out, but they weren't lazy when they made Vesara. Some examples of this are soldiers running far below, or birds scattering from the treetops at the very beginning of the stage. There is something incredibly charming about the variety of scenery and detail we observe below as our character flies through the sky combating the enemy forces. These settings sparked my imagination in conjunction with the sound effects used, but I'll touch on that more later. The second stage finds us riding our hoverbike over open water. The player is eventually greeted by rocky land and structures. Bridges are seen below, battleships that slide into position with turrets, and enemies that pop out of the water. This level is not as diverse as the first stage is, but still remarkably varied for how short the stages feel. The third stage is a snowy area with a lot to take in. Firstly, light snow is falling as we fly over the tops of bare trees and snow-covered buildings. We see moving water wheels by an unfrozen river and smaller streams that are mostly frozen over. There are some gorgeous snow-heaped evergreens just before the flat, snowy area where the boss is fought. Stage 4 is a true highlight for me. The player flies above steep reddish-brown cliffs before entering a cloudy zone above the mountains. we encounter an airship fully equipped with turrets, tanks, and other dangers high in the sky. It could just be my imagination running wild, but what's interesting to observe with this airship is that the platforms sticking out from either side appear to indicate that this flying mass of metal can fold or unfold depending on whether or not it's in a deployed state. It's also the largest structure you can attack in the whole game. Just imagine the immense weight it can carry if it easily holds tanks, turrets, and even the mid-stage mech boss that detaches itself from the front to initiate a battle against you. After defeating him, we clear the cloudy area and see a large palace below. It is now night, and lamplight illuminates sections of the balcony, plus tiny lights can be seen in the windows. From the back of the palace, we see the stage end boss fly out over the water before vanishing from sight, foreshadowing the fight to come. It's another prime example of a fantastic location, since we end things off battling high above the water below. In stage 5, we have a mixed bag of dirt patches, lush trees, rivers, courtyards, a small pond, and finally a massive fortress. Above this structure, we fight one of my favorite bosses, a deep purple-colored mech warrior with some genuinely dazzling attacks. I want to really get the point across that they went all out with the little details peppered along the way. There is a section of stage 5 where a child runs out from the shelter of a tree, chased by their mother. She then grabs the young one, lifts the child into her arms, and races back to the tree, vanishing from sight. You can actually see all of these tiny actions happening, and it's truly incredible. Most of the time, people won't notice these subtle touches during the mayhem, but they are there, and it's a testament to the time and effort they poured into Vessara. Furthermore, I love when enemies are placed on rooftops or in other unique positions. It adds a sense of preparedness on the part of the enemy and has you feeling like you're starting to reach sections where they have buckled down with the fortifications. It's all part of the epic pacing and mood setting that this game delivers every step of the way. The final stage looks bland, but it doesn't take away from the game's overall feel. Here we have a muddy, rocky war zone with heavy turrets stationed all over, banners blowing in the wind, fences, debris, corpses littering the ground, and very little vegetation to observe. We eventually come to a large wooden platform where the showdown begins. Once the final boss has been defeated and the proper conditions met, you fly forward to a second platform for one last fight against the true last boss. The sky darkens considerably, and I think it's fantastic that they did it this way. The whole game feels as though it goes from bright, lush, and cheerful to death and darkness. All in all, the visual package Vessara offers is supreme. There is a great deal to observe if you take the time to pick out the little details that help this game shine that much more. The music in Vessara likely won't wow you the first time you play the game, but for myself, the songs only grew on me the more I played. It wasn't long before I was vocalizing these tunes throughout the day. There was a sense of exuberance thinking about flying into battle on a hoverbike and being able to hear songs that were both unique and refreshing. Hearing the Stage 1 song, for instance, always had me feeling vigorous for the run. Similarly, I always looked forward to the Stage 2 track as it was its own kind of wild fun but perfectly fitting for the action over top of the water. Even the ominous music playing in the final stage could not possibly have been better, in my opinion. Every track became a greater and greater delight as I continued to explore Vessara's many facets, and I'm very thankful I own the soundtrack for this game. The sound effects are what you might expect from something that came out a little over 20 years ago, but that's why I love them in Vessara. Explosions pack a solid crunch that will leave you hearing the crispy goodness in your mind for days. The sounds, combined with the settings, deeply spark my imagination. Just picture being in the forest below the first battle. You hear heavy gunfire and slashing somewhere above the canopy. A tremendous explosion seemingly cracks the sky wide open. Before you know it, this blackened, smoking wreckage comes crashing through the treetops with a deafening sound, exploding to a halt amongst the strong branches that creak loudly under the stress of the ship's immense weight. My absolute favorite sound in the whole game can be heard when you take out the four-legged water-based tanks. When these enemies are destroyed, their explosion is coupled with the wreckage quickly sinking out of sight with a watery splash effect I could listen to for days. There are many other great sounds to be heard, but one of the other favorites is when constantly firing your guns on a large enemy's surface. Doing so produces this beautiful layering effect like heavy sheets of rain relentlessly beating down upon the thick metal plating. The melee sounds for each character are great, as is the sound heard when collecting gems. The only thing that might bother some people is the sound of constantly charging your melee weapon. But yeah, I even love that. The voice acting is another area in which Vassara shines. All of the voices are super memorable, and I thoroughly enjoy getting to each general or stage end boss to hear their lines time after time. I especially like the water stage bosses because it's this casual mumble and a fantastic voice all around as he explains that you only have yourself to blame for even thinking of killing the shogun. Vassara crams a colorful array of music, sound effects, and voice acting into the experience, which is pretty awesome considering a run averages at around 23 minutes. Even the music that plays when you're filling out your name on the score screen at the very end of the game is a treat with its chirping birds. You can really tell the game's age, but that's part of what maintains its magic. Vassara can be played on easy, normal, hard, or hardest mode, but the differences as you scale up in difficulty are not mind-blowing. While each step up will undoubtedly add more bullets, thicker patterns, wider spreads, or even two previously disconnected attacks now being joined to form a larger attack, Vassara's main challenge comes from getting used to the game's pacing and being resourceful and patient. Timing is everything, and this is especially true when it comes to the bosses. When I first played Vassara, I treated it like any other STG, where you mainly shoot enemies down and move on to the next. As you can imagine, this didn't get me anywhere in the game. It wasn't until I made my return that I realized a melee aggressive and calculating approach is necessary to navigate this shmup effectively. There's a lot to balance when you consider a number of the things mentioned earlier. Limited bombs, risk of losing bombs, a single one-up in the whole game from what I can tell, the Vassara attack's automatic release on the next melee attack, gem collecting, gem avoiding, it's endless. Still, it's all part of what makes Vassara such a worthy challenge and an incredibly exquisite game through its intricacies. I absolutely love this game. I love the non-stop action and crushing pace. If you don't keep up with it, you're going to be steamrolled. If you don't recover from a fumble quickly enough by gathering your lost power-ups and clearing some space to breathe, the pressure compounds so rapidly that you'll lose another life and the run will be over before you even know what hit you. I love the bosses with their destructible parts and multiple phases. I greatly appreciate their creative and tough attack patterns. I love the music, the sound effects, enemy variety, literally everything Vassara offers. I love the fact that I can challenge myself in this game. For instance, avoid the use of bombs and the Vassara attack entirely. It took a fair bit of experimentation, but I formulated a method for taking down the final boss and true last boss without the help these tools provide. It's very rewarding when you pull off crazy plays, and I love Vassara for that too. In terms of the story's conclusion, there isn't much substance, but this isn't a negative thing by any means, and I don't think many of us play shmups for the plot. In any event, the characters more or less all have the same ending. If they bring down the final boss but don't trigger the true last boss, then a short scene plays revealing that the real Ieyasu Tokugawa is alive and well. If, on the other hand, they bring down the final boss and true last boss, then they disappear shortly after, never to be seen or heard from again. All three protagonists have a unique scene and bit of story to wrap things up. I like the ending personally, and have an appreciation for Vassara's direction. It's certainly a refreshing change of pace since we're not in outer space shooting down alien craft by the hundreds. As for my conclusion, Vassara is one of the most underrated gems I have ever stumbled upon and easily one of the best I have ever played. It is incredibly engaging, challenging, and such an immersive experience. I am super thankful I gave myself the opportunity to jump back into it. Had I not, I might never have discovered what a treasure trove this game is. Every part of Vassara is masterfully crafted, and this STG deserves serious praise. Visco poured their hearts and souls into their creation, and it shows without a doubt. So if you haven't played Vassara but feel like it's the kind of challenge and experience you're after, then definitely give it a shot. Or perhaps you checked it out before but have renewed motivation and excitement for it now, and if that's the case, fantastic. In any event, that's going to wrap things up for now. A huge thanks to everyone who already contributes in one way or another. You're all stellar, and we'll see you next time.